Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Exodus 33, if you've got your Bibles. Hallelujah. Going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 12, Exodus 33:12. And as is our custom, we'll stand for the reading of the word. Let's read. Starting in verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you've asked, for I will look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have together this evening. I pray that you would open up the eyes of our understanding. Lord, that we would grow in our knowledge of you. Father, there are things in your heart that you desire to release to your people tonight. I pray you'd empower us by your Holy Spirit to understand and to know and to grow in the things of you. I ask that you'd anoint me to preach your word tonight, God, with power and clarity, that it may burn faith and vision into the hearts of your people. We thank you. We praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. Praise the Lord. If I haven't met you yet, I am Pastor Timothy Campo. Praise the Lord. And if I haven't met you, I'd love to meet you. So you grab a hold of me at the end of the service. Praise the Lord. Pastor Daniel sends his love, and I believe he'll be here this weekend. He'll be preaching on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Praise God. But God's really laid it upon my heart this evening to preach from this text, and I'm going to apologize right from the beginning to the media team, because I have absolutely no intention of staying up here. Last Wednesday, I stayed up here the whole time, praise the Lord, so I used up all my stage minutes. Hallelujah. But this section of scripture, I'm going to use the stairs, just because when Pastor Daniel jumps down, I get concerned and pray in emergency tongues. Hallelujah. So I don't want you to be concerned for me. Praise God. I won't need that. Thank you so much. Praise God. This section of scripture is so important to me because it really expresses to us something as God's people about our motivations that we must understand. Because what precedes this, if you're not familiar with this section of scripture in the book of Exodus, is that moment where God has already brought the Israelites, his people, out of bondage in Egypt and parted the Red Sea and provided manna from heaven and quail, and he'd already done mighty miracles on their behalf, and he'd already done these tremendous things. Yet when Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord, the people have Aaron melt down the gold and the jewelry that they have to create idols that they could worship. And really the statement is, like they understood in Egypt and where they'd been and what was familiar to them, we want to worship gods like all the other nations. And so they begin to do so, and God sends Moses down, and I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. You can go and study it because I want to get to the text. But God sends Moses down to correct this issue and to rebuke them. I'm really making a lot of, long story short, you go and read that. He does so. There's judgment that's released. Many things happen during this time. One of the things that happens, though, is God makes a statement to Moses, and he says, listen, I'm not, he didn't say listen, I'm paraphrasing, okay? He says, I'm not going to go with you. Because I'll just get too angry, and anybody with kids, I'm just waiting for my oldest to be confident in driving and drive by herself and praise God. But he says, God says, I'm not going to go with you because I'm going to be too angry and wipe you out, wipe the people out. I'm going to send an angel with you, though, to fulfill the promise, get you into the promised land, because that's where they were headed. Right, the promise that God had given from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, all through the generations, to the people of God. Hallelujah. That land that's still in contention today, and much of the battle today in Israel is concerning that very land that we're talking about. And so, God says to Moses, I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send someone else. And some time, a little bit of time passes. We see this, and you can go and read all this, Exodus 31, 32, 33, where it notes that Moses would take his own tent and set it outside of the camp, set it up outside of the camp, and that would be the tabernacle of meeting, the place where God would come and meet with Moses. It says that once they did so, that Moses went out to the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting, and the presence of the Lord, which had preceded them in a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of cloud would then go to the entrance of that tent of meeting as Moses was there, and God would meet with Moses like a friend does, as he said here, face to face. Now we're getting to the text that we read tonight, because Moses makes a statement that I believe every Christian, every believer, we must have within our hearts, we must have within the deepest part of our being. He says to God, unless you go with us, I don't want to go. Unless you go with us. And what must be the distinction that's made here is that Moses was not so much after the promise as he was after the presence. Because he was still able to go to the promised land. But he says, unless you're with us, God, I don't want to go. You are our distinction, he says. That when the people look upon us, you make the difference. You're the difference. You're the one that sets us apart. And as believers, as Christians, as those who follow after God, we must have that within our heart where it's less about the promise and more about the presence, more about him. And I want to be a little cautious, though, because there are those that preach on things like not pursuing the blessing and not pursuing the promises. We're called to pursue the promises of God. We're called to claim them. We're called to go after them. We're called to build up our faith so that we can walk in them. Actually, the Bible says in the New Testament that we access His divine nature and walk in His divine nature through those precious promises that we have. However, we must know at the very root of all of those promises, at the very root of blessing, at the very root of all of that, it is God being with us as His people that makes the difference. The blessing was not just something that He sprinkled over His people. You're blessed. I think people, I know that there are people that want a blessing. They'll come, you just bless me. And I've had that happen where I get the opportunity to go pray for a your big corporate meeting. Hey, will you come and bless our meeting, bless our business? And I'll agree, but I'll come and I'll say, I want you to understand that I can pray blessing and I'm going to do so. But unless God is with you in your life, unless you've opened up your life to Him and you're walking with Him and living for Him, no, you can't be blessed. There's no blessing outside of walking with God. And so the very root of blessing and the promises, it's a result of walking with God. It's a result of having Him in your life and having Him present and walking with you. I love the offering message tonight from Minister Vicky. Powerful. Just I felt the anointing upon it mightily. And during that, God was reminding me of something as she mentioned that tremendous miracle where Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish and multiplies those things so much so that all those there had more than enough. They were full and there was more left over. But I was reminded that it was because of the presence of Jesus with them that the multiplication happened. It wasn't just about the provision. It was about the one that was walking with them. We must change that which is the motivation of our hearts concerning the promises and concerning even the blessing, because the root of it is walking with Him. When Jesus died on the cross, when He gave His life, when He breathed His last, He said, "It is finished." And that has so much meaning to it. We could take all night and many nights hereafter talking about all that was finished in that moment. But one of the major aspects of that work that Jesus did in giving up His life is providing for what we needed so that we can have relationship with God. That's what reconciliation is. When Jesus died on the cross, if you're not really even heard about that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to really know what that means here by the end of the service. But sin separates us from a relationship with God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of His glory. Sin separates us from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we're able to have relationship with God now and into eternity. But when He says it is finished, the Bible also notes one of my favorite things, that the veil in the temple was torn, it was ripped from top to bottom. And if you go and study the how amazing that is, the thickness of it and how it was woven, it's almost impossible to do what happened from top to bottom, not just lengthwise, but from top to bottom. But the most significant point is that veil, it separated man from God. The presence of God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in the midst of the temple, and that veil is separated. And so when Jesus died, that veil was torn, and it signified that no longer would man need to be separated from God. No longer would we need something to separate us from His presence, because Jesus made a way where there was no way, where we were divided from God because of our sinfulness. Jesus came and lived a life without sin and died in our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that now we can be in His, we can walk in His holiness. The Bible in the New Testament actually says that we're hidden in Christ. That means that God, with the way God sees me, He sees me through Jesus. I'm hidden within Him, and His holiness becomes my holiness. That means I can come before a holy God. That's why it says also in the New Testament that we can boldly come before the throne of grace for help in time of need, because Jesus has already made the way. But that veil being torn made it so that we can walk in His promises because of the relationship that we have. I don't know about you, don't raise your hand. I'm thankful that I've been able to serve the Lord for quite some time now, not as long as some, but longer than others, and enough to be able to recognize God's hand and how he's provided and how he's made a way. But in the midst of that, able to see where you have you ever, don't raise your hand. Have you ever looked at someone else? God, how come you're not doing that for me? God, how come through their life you're doing that? Or you read of some of the great people that God has used over the years. God, I want to be like that. God, I want to do that. And what you'll find, if you look at those lives, what has happened and the revelation that they walk into is an understanding that everything, the anointing, the provision, everything from God comes as a result of that closeness with him. I've tried to work really hard to get into the presence of God. I've tried really hard to not sin, and I've tried really hard to be fruitful, really intensely. Because it says in John 15 that they will know that we're Jesus' disciples because we bear fruit. So I'm going to bear fruit. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's a tremendous thing, but I went about it all wrong. I was under the assumption that if I worked really hard, then I can get in the presence of God. If I worked really hard, then I could be fruitful. If I worked really hard and tried really hard, I could live holy and without sin. But actually, what Jesus says in John 15, abide in me, remain in me, dwell in me. Dwell in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's the empowerment from Jesus by his Spirit that enables us to do what he's called us to do and to live holy and to live righteous. I don't know, again, I don't know if it's just me, but I've tried really hard to do those things until I found that what's needed is to draw near to him, draw near to the one, draw near to the author and the finisher of my faith, draw near to the one that releases the provision and the breakthrough. Is it about the promise or is it about the presence? If you pursue the promise without the presence, I've found you just find discouragement. God, I've tried really hard. And it's good. We do work hard. And we do push and we do press. But it is truly the time with the Lord that produces the fruitfulness in our lives. It produces those things. Though if you want to walk in the promises of God, it comes with walking with him in closeness, in that relationship. And we're designed to do so. You know how we know? From the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we note that God walked with them. Even after they sinned, it said that God came to walk with them in the cool of the day. That was their custom. We were made to walk in relationship with God, connected to him. And what was lost in the garden through sin, Jesus mended through his own sacrifice, through his own death, so that when we step into that relationship with him, we're able to walk with God once again and have his hand upon our lives so that we see his promises, so that we see the release of his blessing, so that we see the healing, the signs and wonders, the miracles, so that we see those things released within our lives. Now back to talking about looking at people that God has used or God has done this and that. And I don't know if you've ever wondered if God has favorites. The Bible says that he has no favorites, that he doesn't. Let me use this example. I've got a few kids. I've got 6 kids. And I remember when we only had one, Esley. And yeah. Praise God. She's getting farther and farther away, and she's getting older, and she'll be 15 this month. Jesus, help me. You guys pray for me. Make sure you're praying for me. But we had one, and then we were going to have a son. Judah. And I struggled because I loved my daughter. And I couldn't figure out how I was to love another child like that. I knew that it was not good to have favorites. I was smart enough, must have been from my mom, my parents, to train me in that way. I just knew it was not a good thing. So I did. So I struggled. I said, God, I know this isn't right. I just don't know how to love my son as much as I love my daughter. And when he was born, do you know what happened? He's so unique and so different that the love I have for him is different than the love I have for her. And it's the same all the way down the line. All six children, they're so unique and so different. They love me differently that there's no favoritism because they're each so unique and so wonderful in who they are. And God spoke to me. That's exactly how he sees us. That he doesn't have favorites. That each one of us are his favorite. And that he sees us in that same way. We're so special, so unique. But then, how do you see God doing this in someone's life and not so much in another? In the book of Hebrews, it says, I believe it's chapter 11, says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He does not have favorites. He does not pick one over the other, but he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder that when you make that decision to pattern your life after the word, to pattern your life off of what God has said for us to do, to pattern your life off of Jesus and walk with God on a daily basis, when you make that decision and begin to walk it out, it positions you to receive his blessings. It positions you to have that, to be positioned to receive of the rewards of God. Jesus even talked about how the wisdom from scriptures are hidden. Revelation is hidden from the casual observer. That those who search and pursue and memorize and mull it over and bring it to the Lord in with questions, and God, why does this say this? When you do so, that God releases revelation. I know many people, God, I want you to speak to me. But don't make the time in the word. Minister Heidi, would you come and play? There must be a hunger. Understand that he's not he does not have favorites, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Moses said, unless you go with us, oh God, we don't want to go. Unless you go with me, I don't want to go. Are we pursuing the promise or are we pursuing his presence? And again, we do need to press for the promises and press and for the blessing and go, okay, if I'm not seeing it, then what's the difference? What is the hindrance here? Are there things in my life that are keeping me from walking in his promise? However, if we're not pursuing his presence, I believe that what happened with the Israelites in following or making the golden calf was they were focused on the promise. It don't matter what gods get us there. It don't matter what gods get us there. It's all about the end, not the means. But that's the difference in the kingdom. It's all about the means. It's all about whether we're going to position our lives in God, whether we're going to make him the number one in our lives, whether we're going to make him our Lord, not just our Savior, the one who directs our lives. And from the very beginning, the enemy's deception has been, God is keeping something from you. He said to Eve, will you really die if you eat that? What God has said for you not to eat? You're not going to die. You'll be like God. That very deception is prevalent today. That God is withholding something. One of the things that I think of every single day in making decisions is that, am I sacrificing what I really want for what I want right now? Right? You've got a decision. Am I going to fast or am I going to turn into Panda Express? But I really want God to come through in my life, and I really need breakthrough, and I really need the outpouring of His Spirit. I really need something to change and something to shift, and I really need God to be at work in my life. And I know that He spoke to me to fast. Don't sacrifice what you really want for what you want right now. That's one of the deceptions of the enemy. It's okay. You just do this thing now and you'll get it right later. Allow the Holy Spirit to so work in your life that you're pursuing the things of God on a daily basis. I love the song that we were singing. When we wake up, praising God. Go to sleep, praising God. Focused upon the Lord. Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry for His presence? Are you hungry for Him to move within your life? God responds to hunger. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not casually. Not the 10 minutes or the 20 minutes on the way to work. And that's all the time that you have. Diligently seeking Him. I understand that there's many things going on in life that want to take up your time. I understand there's things in ministry. Maybe you're serving in the church. You've got a job. You've got a family. You've got kids. Maybe you're helping take care of your parents. God bless you. But they cannot take up that time spent drawing close to the Lord. Those things cannot, even ministry, cannot take up that time. Serving in the church does not take up that time. It's not a substitute for that time. Jesus said, when you pray, go into the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will see you and reward you. There is a reward in pursuing the things of God, pursuing His presence, pursuing closeness with Him. You must make that time. I believe on a Wednesday night, right after the Glow Show, and I know many of you served and many of you were here through Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and you're here on Wednesday. Why? Because I believe that there's a hunger. I believe that you desire the things of God, that you want more. And historically, a move of God, though it may be initiated in a person's life, and we know many, William Seymour, the Azusa Street Revival, many others over the years. It's always about a corporate body who is hungry for God. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Go after God. Go after God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.